Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Adjacent.
You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
I heard Too Sexy, and then my AirPods hit off.
Well, yeah, Carlos and I were talking about early morning flights, and then you popped on the screen in a sleeveless shirt, and he just couldn't contain himself.
Whew, that went all Chris Kattan.
Stop it, Russ. Stop it. It's too much.
No.
But he
lost. I'm fine with getting into a place at like 11 o'clock at night rather than... I would rather that than get in there at 8 a.m. because there's just no way I've slept. If I'm landing somewhere at 8 a.m., there's no way I've slept the night before. I'm not going to enjoy that day.
Can you sleep on planes is my first question.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
So no, and I don't take naps either. I can't. It's not like a choice I'm making.
I mean, it is a problem for you, though, because the only reason you have this issue is because you can't take naps or sleep on planes. If you could, you wouldn't care about getting in early.
If I have a 6 a.m. flight, which I'm sure is what you're talking about, right, Carlos, to get here 8 a.m.?
Oh, yeah, 6 a.m. flight. Okay. Yeah.
6 a.m. flight. So you have to be at the airport. If you want to, like, cut it close, you can be walking in the door at 5. But probably you want to be there before that, even. Most people do. I'd be okay with 5 a.m. But, I mean, what time are you having to wake up for that? Giving a wake up maybe early. 3,
That's
4.
Out.
I'm not going to sleep well the night before. I can't just like go to bed at 8 p.m. the night before to get a full night's sleep. I'm going to be probably going on 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and I'm not going to sleep on the plane. It's just not going to be an enjoyable to me. Unless I have to be somewhere for work, and this is my only option is to fly that early, I just won't do it.
No, my favorite thing is to arrive at a place and it's morning, and it's like, I feel like I got a bonus day. I feel like I got a whole day,
jeez,
a whole extra day. If I get somewhere and I immediately go to bed, I was like, I feel like I just paid an expensive hotel bill just to sleep in this country or this city. I'm like, give me the full, let me earn it. Let me earn that first day. That's, you know, maybe that's the poor dad, rich dad.
I think there's a lot of, what direction are you flying? Because I think that plays a big part into it. So, for example, I'm back in Arizona and I flew in on Sunday morning. And so going east, from east to west, it is better to go early, right? So my flight was at 7:30 on Sunday morning. I went to bed at like 11:45, got up at 5:30. At that time on a Sunday, it only takes 25 minutes to get to the airport and you're good. I have pre-check and clear and all that good stuff that gets you through in like 2 seconds. And that early, mm-hmm. you're also good. And then I can sleep on the plane. It's a three and a half, four hour flight here to Arizona. Got the rest of my night sleep on the plane and got to Phoenix and felt great.
See, I when I sit in the airplane seat, the second that I sit in it, it's like sitting in the it's like sitting in the barber's chair when I was a kid. The second you sit down, and like when I was, I don't know if you guys had this experience, but the second the barber hit you with the clippers, gone. I woke up to a new me, a new hair. And same thing. Like I wake up in the airplane, like, and it's like I'll sleep 20 minutes, and for me, it's like 2 hours. Like I wake up and I'm refreshed, so I'm like a 2 hour napper that way, and I feel totally new.
Are you saying you sleep through takeoff?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I know it seems
you don't wake up
horrible.
During it.
No, I mean
it's easier to sleep through takeoff than landing, because takeoff it almost is kind of like I do feel sleepy when it happens. I don't fall asleep, but it is almost like a weighted blanket takeoff because it's kind of pushing you back against the back of the seat.
I'm convinced there's some kind of chemical response to the pressurized cabin or something, because when I'm in there, I will sleep through the complete takeoff. You know, like in that groggy state, if there's a higher power, I thank you for the experience I've gotten to have. And then, boom, I'm out.
Sleeping on airplanes is like when people taste cilantro, right? Like some people think it tastes good. Some people think it tastes soapy. With yes. sleeping on planes, either you can or yeah. you can't. There's no like in between. I'm with Carlos though. Like as soon as, that's the other part about waking up early for a flight. Yes, the getting up part is hard, but once you like grab your stuff, get in the Uber, get to the airport, get to checking your bag. If you're checking your bag, going through security, you're up, right? Like you're fine and can like, or up enough to like do the basic human things of giving TSA your ID and scanning your boarding pass. And then you get through there, get to your gate. And usually by that time, if you fly as much as we fly, you can time it where as soon as I get through TSA pre, I got about like 15 minutes until we board. Perfect. Like I don't want to be waiting around the airport all day. And so you get through to where you're going. If you're a frequent flyer, you're the first one on the plane. Oh, definitely if I'm the first one on the plane, I'm sitting down, buckling up, and K up. Unless you're in the exit row. Then you got to stay up long enough for them to be like, are you willing, able to assist in case of emergency? And then you lie and say yes. And then you go
back to sleep. So, Carlos, if you were on the flight in the movie Flight, I think you would have missed the whole thing.
I haven't seen that show.
You would have just walked off and been looking for baggage claim in the middle of that field.
You know what? From what I understand about that show, I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that. Let me just blissful ignorance. Blissful ignorance. I'll take it.
Wait. What show are you thinking of, Carlos? So I think what Jason's talking about is the movie Flight with Denzel, where the plane crashes and he like flips the plane.
Using show interchangeably with movie, or
isn't there a show?
Another mix-up.
Isn't there a show with Idris Elba right now on Apple Plus? Am I thinking of something else?
Well, I'm sure there is a show with Idris Elba on Apple Plus of some kind, because he's very famous and successful.
He's right. There is a show.
I don't know if he's flying a plane.
It's called Hijack. It's called Hijack. Go.
That's a whole different scenario.
Denzel kind of hijacks that plane in that movie because
he saves that plane.
It is kind of a hijack.
Alcohol hijacks the plane. If he's not drinking, I think that's a good thing. Let's talk about Flight for a second. Great movie. Yeah. Shout out to
Denzel. Movie with Denzel Washington from 10 years
ago? Yes, it's a really good movie. It's a good movie.
All right. Yes, it is.
He's for everybody out there, if I'm swelling, I'm sorry. It's been out for like 8, 9
years. Gosh, Russ, this movie is from at least 10 years ago. You are free to go, bud.
Okay, listen, I like throw it out there. All right,
you throw
so in the movie,
all out there.
Denzel is like a degenerate. I'm talking coke. I'm talking
he's drinking
pills,
and snorting coke the morning
alcohol.
Before he goes
the
to fly
the morning
plane.
Before this flight, the title of the movie, he's with some baddie who is a flight attendant on the plane, and
right.
of course. And there he wakes up to cocaine on the side of the bed, hitting some weed, and drinking a beer. And then it's like his coffee, because he gets right up. The next scene is him with his sunglasses on and his pilot
looking
uniform,
perfect.
Looking great, fantastic.
Yeah. Main character energy, big time.
Raining the night before, a huge storm in wherever they were flying from. He's getting everybody
Orlando.
Checked in. Yeah, going to Atlanta.
Yes.
Getting everybody situated. And while he's talking to the people on the plane, he's like pouring hella vodka into this orange. It was orange. It was vodka with like a splash of orange juice.
Made orange, right?
Yeah. Yes. From the drink cart.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is a key point in the movie later on.
Fast forward, the storm, they get through it, but the plane was messed up. It wasn't anybody's fault. The plane was actually messed up. But he had all this alcohol in the system. He tries to land the plane by flipping it upside down. He saves almost everybody. If he doesn't do that, everybody dies.
Yeah, only he some saves people end those, up dying. He saves those people's lives, I think, because otherwise the plane would have crashed if he had not done that insane right. maneuver, is how
he
I remember.
He saved like 90% of the plane.
And they said they ran flight simulators with other pilots. And no
everybody failed.
No, everyone was complete fatalities across the board. And Denzel somehow did it. But so, he was high and drunk at the time.
The point of my story is, if he's not drinking, does everybody make it? Because I'm willing to go on the out on the limb and say, if he is not confident enough on coke and alcohol, he doesn't make that decision. Everybody dies, movie over.
Delusional. I think replace confident with delusional. And yeah, he was probably like the one in 1,000 chance to save that plane. And
because here's my thing. The church guy that was his like first lieutenant pilot, other pilot, was like, oh Lord. And like didn't want to do anything. And so he would have crashed and everybody's dead. It's Denzel like, now we're gonna roll it. And then flip the plane upside
down. So are you equating this to like if you don't have your proper breakfast, like if you don't get to have what you normally have for breakfast, then you're just kind of off for the rest of the day. You're not right. Like if he didn't get his usual morning cocaine weed, you know, combo baddie. Plate.
Mm-hmm. His binge, his bump, his baddie, right? Yes.
The beer, cocaine, the baddie. Weed, baddie combo plate at Denny's, the Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam of the generous.
And he's not in the right. Then he's not able to maneuver this plane and save 96 out of 100 people or whatever it was.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Okay. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, had he woken up alone with like an apple and water, everybody dies.
Yeah, listen, that's a triangle. He needs all three. Otherwise, it's just a line. It's just an L. He just takes an L. He needs all three. Otherwise, he takes an L.
Mad Latina flight attendant. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's also my brand too, so I understand. A couple lines of cocaine, not my bag or my brand. No, okay. That's not me. And then like a beer from the night before that was probably flat. He didn't even want it. It was just kind of just there. That was his water. And then she's smoking weed to kind of get her up. And it's just like, I don't think he is as successful saving everybody's lives if he does that. Oh, she died, by the way. She was one of the flight attendants.
As a hero.
Oh, that's right. As a hero.
She died as a hero.
And at the climax of the movie, at the end, he could either get out of jail by saying she was the one that drank the alcohol that he poured into his cup, or he could admit to it. And it was at that point, the man with no heart said, nah, I really cared about that woman. I drank the vodka.
And I'm drunk right now as I testify.
October 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th, I was drunk in excess. Yeah. I'm drunk right now. Yeah,
there's that one scene. I don't even remember exactly where it is, but there's like, he's like, you think he's going to resist the alcohol and it's just
in the hotel room the night before the testimony.
The night before, and it's just sitting there and you're like.
And he closes the door to the mini fridge and you're like, yes, Denzel, that's how you do
three,
it. And then
three, two, one, he grabs it.
You just see a close up of the hand swipe of the.
Of the some small vial of vodka. Then you have
mini bar.
Don Cheadle the next morning. Who comes in and sees the room torn up, refrigerator knocked over, blood on the wall. He's like, oh my God, he's dead.
Who's worse? Who's worse in the movie as a character? Denzel, who is an addict, but in the end does the right thing, goes to prison for it because he's so has such conviction and moral fortitude to do the right thing. Or Don Cheadle and the union rep who are like, oh no, what do we do? Let's call in
whatever you need to get yourself going. And so they get him his morning routine of a bump baddie and a bench.
Don Cheadle shells out the cash for that.
Yes, he pays for it with cash.
I think either him or the union guy.
Shady dude, little shady dude comes over with some John Goodman comes over for like some coke. Weed, heroin, and shrooms, and all this other stuff over there.
Like, he's just setting out a buffet. Whatever you need to do, brother, just get ready.
Oh, my goodness.
Don Cheadle's already done
so. I agree that
the hand wringing by Don Cheadle at the end, at the end over that, like, oh, I don't know, what do we do? Like, he's already done so many bad, like, legally fine, but morally reprehensible things of
Don getting Cheadle him out of pilot,
like getting the toxicology report cleared, and then he's like, I don't know, should we really call in his coke guy?
See, here's my thing. I'm cool with that part because that's kind of like his job as an attorney to like get shit thrown out. But like, once you dive into, I'm paying your dealer for all this cocaine and weed to get you win my case enough to get you to this testimony. Yeah.
You've crossed the line. You've crossed the line there. A different line. There are many lines that he crossed.
There's a lot of lines and he crossed all of them. Yes.
Quite literally and metaphorically crossed the line here. Yes.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Shame on you, Don Cheadle.
I know. Come on.
Or whatever the name of the character you played in that movie. Let's start the show. Welcome to Sports Adjacent, your home for movie analysis from stuff that came out 15 years ago, such as Flight.
That's why we're here.
And Denzel Washington and Don Cheadle and John Goodman and who's the guy that played the union rep?
He's
white guy that was
stuff.
Like his longtime friend. He's in everything. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's in a lot of like country movies. He's got that vibe to him.
I know who you're talking. I'm gonna find you. Keep going, and I'm gonna find the dude.
Kelly Riley's in that movie. There's a lot of big stars in that movie.
Was that the other baddie, the redheaded baddie? That he met in like the hospital, who was also like on heroin and pills and cocaine.
Yeah, and she
you put
seems
two addicts together, not a great situation.
Well, she seemed to straighten up.
Yeah, she straightened up and got him right at the end of the movie, where like he's in jail and has a picture of her and his son that came to visit. But like, yes.
More breakdown of the of the 2010 movie Flight coming up later. Don't worry.
Yeah, I feel that'll be the thing. I think we should just break down parts of it throughout the show and just keep going. Yeah, just keep going. Pick a movie. Pick a movie every week.
I'm so glad that we cut you off, Carlos Frias, before you took this into any number of wrong movies or shows that we weren't talking about.
Like
Hijackers and whatever
else. I can always go in the wrong direction, but I'm counting on you to steer me back.
Can I say this?
We know, and we have a mess to clean up later. Go ahead,
Russ. Shout out to Nadine Velasquez, who played Katarina, the baddie.
This is what you're fixed on out of the whole movie. You're back to this. Okay.
Ay, Dios mío. Claro que sí.
You trying to find her on Tinder right now or something?
I don't use Tinder, dude. What's wrong
Bumble.
With you? I don't think either.
I think this movie came out formative time in Russ's life when he remembers
Bruce Greenwood is the guy you were going
for. There you go. I would have never guessed that name in a million years, but the name sounds right. That guy looks like his name is Bruce Greenwood.
He was the president in a National Treasure in the second.
I would say politician vibe. That guy, politician vibe.
Politician, ranch owner, you know, something like that.
Yeah, a powerful white guy with salt and pepper hair.
I was gonna say it's giving conservative.
Yes.
I'm Jason Leisure. That voice you hear just howling with laughter is Russ Dorsey, my co-host.
Yo.
And the Carlos Frias residency continues. Carlos joining us from Miami today.
Yo, Nadine Velasquez from Chicago. How about that?
All right. Well, then you'll
she's have
bad.
I don't care
about.
What you say, bro.
Okay.
I got to go Google this now that we're talking about it.
I don't know that anyone has argued that she's not a baddie, as you've said.
Yeah, but I hadn't thought about her since I went to the IMDb page and I saw her. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah. I can see this has brought back a lot of memories for you. Like, do you too many, in fact, for you to function on the show at the moment? Do you want to, like, take a minute?
Oh,
while I do the
ad reads? Would it make you feel better if I went to Kelly Riley's IMDb? Because she's bad, too.
That's It'd make me feel better if you did it like after we're done with work.
This is part of work.
This is work.
This is work.
This is the okay. work right now.
I was okay. on the flight IMDb page, and these actors.
Well, no, I mean, I feel like if you're honest, this has transitioned out of work and into personal.
Nah,
Jason, this is the life we have chosen. Okay,
that's what I'm saying. This is
the life we have chosen.
Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA and take advantage of their sleep month sale right now. But if you use our link that I just gave you, sheetsgiggles.com/SA, or use our promo code sports, either one, they will give you an extra 10% discount on top of what they're already doing for sleep month. Go hit that up. Get the sheet set. Get a pillow, get a mattress. There's a lot of good stuff over there. Carlos, you finally you received your Sheets and Giggles this week.
I did. I washed them because it told me that they will be extra soft when I do that. The packaging said so. I washed them, I folded them, and I'm ready to trade that out at the end of the week. You know, we change our sheets once a week, and then. But I did try out the pillow, and I will say that it is an excellent pillow. It's got like a. It's kind of like a not memory foam, but like bits of broken memory foam is kind of what's inside. Now, I didn't know that when it said, hey, you can take some filling out. And I was like, maybe it's like layers of filling.
Adjustable.
And I unzipped it in bed, and it was like a popcorn container exploded. Because all the little, it's little broken bits.
Yeah, you want to do that a little more carefully. Sorry.
So do it over a, it says, you know, send you a little bag. So I kind of poured it back into the bag. I dumped about
They give you a little tote to put the extra in case you want to adjust it back later.
Yeah, I put that in the little bag, and then I kept about 25% less, and that was my sleep number on that. 25% minus the fill.
That's about my setting too, right about there, I think. Okay, I think this is actually – I don't think you did this on purpose, but I think it is inadvertently very strategic of you that you have not put the Sheets and Giggles on your bed yet. And generally, I would never advise someone not to put Sheets and Giggles on their bed. But you are about to go out of town and sleep in a hotel. And if you sleep on those Sheets and Giggles tonight and then fly and stay at, I don't even care what hotel it is tomorrow, you will be very disappointed all weekend. You'll be like, why am I sleeping in this sandpaper, normal sheets? So this is actually pretty good because it will ruin all other bed sheets for you. So put these on your bed, like right when you get up tomorrow morning, put them on. And then you have it to come back to after your trip to Chicago.
I'm excited about it. I'm ready.
Did you snuggle your face up to them or anything? Just kind of get a little taste, get a, you know.
After I washed them, I did do the before and after. Like I did the before and I was like, okay, these are nice. And then afterwards you get that worn, it's like a worn in Heather t-shirt. That's the kind of feel, like that softness. Yeah. So I like that. I'm ready.
Well, I'm very happy for you. I'm very excited about your journey here.
My sleep journey.
We need a full review of it next week.
Dude, I gave you an unboxing video. I gave Sheets and Giggles an unboxing video. I was straight from 2015. I was like, I time traveled back in time to where people did unboxing videos.
The unboxings.
How do you get that as a job where it's like, my kid is just going to open toys on YouTube for unboxing videos, or I'm just going to try on shoes.
And you keep doing it.
Well, how does it get started, though? It just gets started as, like, I do a really good job of trying on shoes and telling people about it, or?
No, like, you just say, I'm going to unbox these Nikes, and then it does really well, and then you keep doing it, and then Nike says, we're just going to send you a whole bunch of free shit.
That's what you need. Yeah, that's where I'm headed with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
But you start with the, I'm just going to do it for entertainment purposes.
Right.
Then you get paid, and then free stuff.
You got to unbox something cool, I think. It's not like, I'm unboxing these socks that I bought. I don't know that people are going to tune in for that. But like Nike's.
These batteries.
Yeah. Yeah, battery. I got these batteries on Amazon. And I'm going to
unbox Energizer. They look like a normal battery. They're cylindrical. They've got a knob.
Shaped like my previous battery.
They seem like they'll power a flashlight.
I think we're bringing down the algorithm right now.
Now we move on to Duracell.
A vertical. What do you call it when you compare the two lines, a vertical?
Good and get, or whatever it's called. Good and gather batteries. Russ, are you doing more IMDb research?
No, I've turned IMDb off because you were getting all upset. And
I mean, you had me Googling Kelly Riley, and I was like, okay, yeah, I know. I see.
Yep.
I'm terrible with names.
You are. Names. You seem to be having trouble staying on top of names and places, and we are coming back to this. Don't worry, because I'm sure all of our listeners caught on to this last week. But Sports Adjacent is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app, and your first bet with them gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500. If you don't win, pretty soon you'll be able to bet on baseball regular season games. Right now, you got the NBA, you got hockey, you got the college basketball tournament coming up. Use our promo code adjacent1000 to get that deal up to $1,500 paid back in free future betting credits if you don't win. So you either win or you get another shot at it, which is great. Use adjacent1000, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. So we had a little mix-up last week. And I say we. I think this was a collective failure. Russ has that look on his face like he does not want to take responsibility for this.
I'm not taking responsibility for this.
He's like, I didn't do this.
I think we sat back and did nothing when something was... You know, Matt Nagy...
I let my guests cook.
Matt Nagy once said...
Go ahead.
When during one of their losing streaks or whatever, he said something like, it's nobody's fault except everybody's, or something like that. Which is kind of how I feel about Carlos Frias mixing up his lils last week. Let me play the clip for everybody in case they missed it.
And now,
Carlos Frias
reads.
What? Actually, he said, wow. Got treated like shit. We can curse, right?
Yeah.
Got treated like shit at the Laker game just now, but I figured they'd do me that sooner or later, either because of what I said about AD, Anthony Davis, or simply because they don't FWM. They don't fuck with me, which I've been got that vibe from them as well. So all good. I get it. Fuck them. It isn't what it isn't. I'm used to it.
All right, so that was a quote from Lil Wayne about what we believe was a relatively minor inconvenience at a Lakers game with his seats. But you opened it with what? Which I love if we're talking about Lil Jon. But I think you mixed up your Lils. Can you explain?
Absolutely. I can explain, and I will say that Chappelle was a formative part of my last years when he was at his peak. And I think his impersonation of Lil Jon kind of overwhelmed all the other Lils in my imagination. The Lil Yachty's, the Lil Uzi's, the Lil Nas X's, and
all the Lil Wayne. Okay.
All the Lils, not Lil Kim though. But I think all the Lils got mixed up in my brain. Even though these are clearly two different men with two different aspects of their career. And I have done some homework on that because clearly I know the difference. Say Lil Wayne, Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., born September 27th, 1982, known professionally as Lil Wayne, is an American rapper, singer, and songwriter. He is regarded as one of the most influential hip hop artists of his generation and is often mentioned among the greatest rappers of all time. Lil Wayne has sold over 100 million records worldwide, including more than 25 million albums and 92 million digital tracks in the U.S., making him one of the world's best-selling music artists.
This sounds like totally off the cuff by you and not at all like you're a fourth grader giving an oral report on a person I admire most.
Right. This was not taken from Wikipedia word for word at all. He's also the winner of 5 Grammys. And as we know, because we are in the generation, Lil Jon, Jonathan H. Smith, born January 17th, 1972, better known by his stage name, Lil Jon, is an American DJ, record producer, and rapper. He was instrumental in the commercial breakthrough of the hip-hop subgenre crunk in the early 2000s, and is often credited as a progenitor of the genre. Lil Jon served as record producer for many recording artists, including the Miami-based rapper Pitbull and fellow Atlanta-based artist Ludacris, Ciara, and Usher, with whom he performed at the Super Bowl. He's also won one Grammy. So apologies to the Lils that I mixed up, but y'all got game, and I respect it.
Lil Jon, also the host of a home renovation show that I thoroughly enjoy that you can get on HBO Max called Lil Jon Wants to Do What?
Is that really what it's called?
Yeah. And it's good. Okay. I mentioned it on here before. I don't remember if you were on that week or not, but it's actually really, he's like, I really like his approach to it. It's very, he's got a partner, and the partner is more the nuts and bolts type person, and he's more the creative visionary, but he's really good at that. And he's really good at, like, they'll go in to remodel somebody's house, and he'll kind of push them beyond their comfort zone into a very wild creative idea that they're later like, oh, we love this. Thank you. Like, we would have never been so daring as to do this or think of this, but this is ended up being awesome. Like, now our basement is the coolest basement in the neighborhood. Carlos, what did you think later in that segment, as I recall, when Russ did what I would call a like 9 out of 10 impersonation of Lil Wayne, and it sounded nothing at all like what you had done? Did that,
Is
there any kind of red flag to you there of like,
I literally was like, wait, what does Lil Jon sound, or what does Lil Wayne sound like? And then I was like, oh, okay, I got these mixed up. And at that point, it said, ship had sailed. And if you caught the reading as Lil Jon, then there was nothing else to reinforce that afterwards. So I was like, I'm just going to let that ride. I was like, Denzel reaching for the single service vodka. Just like, you know what? I need this to get working. I need to stay on top of this game, whatever it takes.
I mostly blame you, but I partially fault us for sitting idly by. That it should have, especially me.
No, blame yourself, bro. I did the actual Lil Wayne impression. Don't blame me. Off my head. I think that was my way of saying, actually, I don't think that was Wayne. I'm going to do the Wayne.
Oh, okay. All right. That was your kind of wink.
If you want to put point fingers at you, Mr. Finger Pointer.
When did you guys say it out loud to yourselves? Like, those two got mixed up. Like, was it later?
As soon as you opened with what, I immediately. But I have this aversion to anytime I'm on, and not that this is live, but I have this thing of like anytime I'm live on radio, TV, podcast, or I have this aversion to correcting people. I always feel like you don't want to do that. Like, that is chemistry killer. That's like, you don't want to do that unless you really have to. But in hindsight, that was a time when I had to. I should have stepped in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think when I was doing a radio show down here, one of the things, like, before we went on the air, I'd say like, hey, if I ask you something and the question triggers a different thought, go in that direction. If I say something wrong, correct me right on the spot. I got no ego about it. You know, we'll fix it and that's it. And then people, you know, like, hey, we're all human. We all make mistakes. And, you know, if you're caught on the spot and you get it wrong, you get it right. And that's it. And if you're too big to do that, then I think you got to do some work on yourself, I think.
Well, I think you've cleared your name here.
Okay.
You've cleared up the discrepancy. You've gone and got educated, which is what needs to happen. And you've come back and you've fixed it. So we're good.
Thank you. I'm ready. No. I'm ready to enjoy my Lils in their correct proportions and in their correct frameworks.
See, here's the problem. Now we're going to give him like a different rapper to do an impression of, and he's going to be so lost. He's like, wait, no, I was ready for Lil Wayne. And now here comes, you want me to do the Lil Nas X impersonation? I don't know how to do that.
Lil Nas X I can do, but I can probably only sing lyrics.
I wanted to find him a Lil Wayne or Lil Jon song that he could read the lyrics to as a reading segment. And there's just not one that we could do. There just isn't.
No, especially Wayne.
Especially all of it. We just cannot do it. Like, no.
Too far, even for us. Yeah, I remember playing a little Two Live Crew on the air on public radio. And it was like, we found like the 7 words strung together that you could say. And it would not cost you your FCC license. And I think
if you want to hear the lyrics to Get Low, you're going to just have to go read them yourself.
To the window. Mm-hmm. to the wall.
That's it.
Are you reading the only six words that are allowed?
Lyrics, those are the only ones you can say. To the window, to the wall, to the wall, till the, and then you got to stop.
Yep, and that's it.
Yep.
Yep.
Or you could do the ah, and then that's the rest of it. Did we want to do the little girl that sang the national anthem at the Pacers game who was god awful?
I didn't hear about this. It's a kid?
Yeah, she's like 11 and she sang the national anthem at the Pacers game and it was. Carl Lewis is still probably worse, but that's if I'm mentioning Carl Lewis with her, it's bad.
I would say we don't rip on the kid, but I will say that, like, it's going to take a lot to, I think the point is it's going to take a lot to unseat Carl Lewis, because that's where my brain went. I was like, if you have a terrible voice at 11, uh-oh, I'm okay with you having a terrible voice at 11. Carl Lewis should know better. Carl Lewis should know better. You know who else should know better? Do you remember when Bradley Cooper performed at the Oscars with mm-hmm. Lady Gaga? Mm-hmm. Like, this man was...
No, did they do the song from the movie, I assume?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was arrogant enough to sing live with one of the great voices of right now, of our time, right? Of our generation right now. And he's like, yeah, I can do this. I can act. But you can't act like you can sing. And I learned a lot about this man on that day. Because if you have self-awareness, you're like, I
could probably just let the track do it or let her do it solo.
Yeah, let her do it solo.
He sang in the movie, though. But he sang in the movie. I mean, he had to have gotten some kind of training for that.
No.
It's like studio recording is different than being able to be a live singer. I hear what Carlos is saying. Like, yes, it's his voice and he did sing. But studio recording.
Right. Like,
he's supposed to not sing his song that he did in the movie. He's supposed to say, you know what? I know I'm half of what made this song work in the movie.
Lip sync.
Well, I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
It happens a lot more often than you probably think.
I know. And I don't like it.
At award shows.
I'm sure it happens at the Macy's Parade and Super Bowl shows. And I mean, we saw Rihanna do it. Rihanna's holding the mic down by her hip and somehow still singing into it.
How's that happening?
What they do a lot of times is they'll play a track right underneath it, real low underneath it, in case the mic grows out, in case you have laryngitis, whatever. And they'll mix mix the actual song with you singing in person. I know because my cousin's an audio engineer and they do stuff like that. And it's like, but you have to understand that you were created for that. Like, that was engineered in that movie, just like the staging and the setting and your outfit was a costume. The singing was a costume. It wasn't really you doing it, Bradley Cooper. Like, Ryan Gosling learned to play the piano, a little piece of that piano, that song for La La Land. That does not mean that he can play Rachmaninoff. Like, he just played that little piece and that's for that movie, because you're creating a fantasy and a fiction. But like, don't go on stage. Have some humility. I understand that you need to be gregarious. You know, if you're going to play a role and you're going to, be a little bit, you have to put on that costume. But now let's all be back in reality now and let Lady Gaga do what she is great at. So anyway, Russ, I'm still not over that, as you can tell.
Yeah, I can see that it bothers you. What happened? I didn't hear about the.
It's not like major news.
The national anthem that went poorly.
My thing was, I feel like the responsibility should be on these teams, where the bar should be, can you sing? Okay. Like, I don't like, you got this 41 times a year in basketball, baseball 81 times. The requirement should be you can sing. Now, I understand that it's different singing in front of three people in a room where you're sending in your audition tape, and then there's 40,000 people in here, and now my nerves are going and your voice goes, because been there, done that. But I don't know if everybody who they allow to sing the national anthem should be singing it. Like, you should have a rotation of like three people who crush that you should just bring back each time.
I'm down with that. I think that's a great idea. You know,
the Blackhawks do that. The Miami Heat do that, I think.
Yeah, have a house band. You know, have a house band or have a rotation.
Come on,
you know,
play the hits. We got four people that kill it, and then every once in a while you have a celebrity that comes in that you want to sing it. Cool, but like you have to do that. And you know what? I'll have Tone put in the audio right here so people can hear it.
Ten bright stars throughout the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watch, were so gallantly streaming.
I think that you have your three people, maybe two of them are sick or one's performing, whatever. You have a rotation of three, that person, especially because it's only 41 dates a year that you have that in basketball, 81 in baseball, 80 or 41 in hockey. Like, it's not that many dates over the full stretch, and it allows everybody kind of do what they need to do as the performer. But like, you can't keep having people who can't sing the national anthem. Because one, not an easy song to sing. Two, what I don't want to hear somebody who can't sing attempt.
I would guess, you know, other than Flavor Flav did the national anthem at the Bucks game. But other than that, I would guess that they're not bringing in people who can't sing. Like Carl Lewis, remember the famous Carl Lewis one that we've been talking about? Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Like, remember that he started out really well. Like, it started out like,
yeah,
okay,
he started out solid. It was like, okay, Carl.
He knows how to make this sound, and then it went bad on him. I mean, how much more likely is that to happen with a kid? And that's where I'm kind of conflicted on this as a parent of like, even if my kid is a good singer, do I want to put them out like this in the middle of an arena before a sporting event?
That's the other thing. Like, did this little girl have stage parents, right? Where they're like, no, you're going to be a singer. Knowing damn well that girl can't sing. Like, why are we forcing this dream on this girl that she, like, she's probably going to be like the best basketball player ever, right? The next
Caitlin Clark. These kids probably can sing. These kids probably can sing. They're probably good. But man, it's nerve-wracking.
I don't think so.
No, she'd probably do fine at home, but when you put her there in front of 20,000 people and it's on TV and there's been all this buildup to it, for there's so many nerves. Like, you can't even call that choking.
Or it's formative for that kid, and maybe she really wants to be a singer, and like, maybe that is like the low point, and like her career takes off after that. Could happen. I mean, maybe, you know. I cheer for the kid. I cheer for the kid. When a kid messes up, I'm much more forgiving than
an adult,
it's not the seventh inning stretch. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." You know what I mean? You expect it to be, you know, kind of like a fun. If it's a disaster, it's better.
It's not a national disrespect of any kind.
Yeah. Right.
So here. The video, she's 8, by the way, 22 million views as of a couple of days ago.
I hope she's getting money for those views. That's all I'm saying.
It's probably going to the stage parents.
It's horrible. For her college fund.
With no background information, you have accused these people of being stage parents. You just decided that's it. Oh, you, what? How do they sound again? What if she's sitting there? She's like, well, I'm only 8. I don't know if I should be doing this.
Now we know what to do with this money. You're going to get your ass out there and say, but I think there's a
muah ha 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 in there somewhere.
I think I would rather just stay home and play with my Barbies, though.
No, what you're going to do is you're going to put this little dress on that we bought from Walmart or wherever they bought the dress. I don't want to shit on
it's
Walmart.
Uncomfortable, though.
Is it about looking comfortable or is it about getting this money?
Listen, the world's going to need a new the world needs, you know, singers, and they got to start somewhere. So, like, you're going to burn some on the route to the next Britney Spears coming
accurate.
Up as a Disney kid. You know, look at Ryan Gosling. He was a singer on one of those Disney. He was one of those Disney kids. And now, you know, he's Knuff.
You're an asshole if you boo the 8-year-old girl. Right.
100%. Unless you're in Philly.
No matter how bad it is.
100%. You can't boo the 8-year-old.
No.
Yeah.
But.
Did she get booed?
No, she didn't.
Oh.
But I have seen video of the legend, Lauryn Hill, as a young girl singing at the Apollo. And she got booed. This is Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, but the Apollo's brand.
Maybe booing builds you into this. Like, that's your villain origin story. Like, and then they booed. And I decided that day, I will be the best in the world. You know what I mean? Nobody would ever.
It's all in black and white. That whole section is in black and white.
And it's like 20 years later. And ripping some riff and some note in Madison Square Garden. And then it goes back. I decided that day I would never be embarrassed like that again. It's like black and white. Oh yeah, you can't boo the kid. But if we got one of our goats because she got booed at the Apollo, maybe there's a lesson in it.
Yeah, you can get booed at the Apollo. You can, if you're a kid and you go to the Apollo and you get booed, that's okay. Because
that's what they're gonna do.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you can't, Jason, you know about the Apollo, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought it was more, I'm more familiar with it because it's like they do stand up comedy there too, don't they?
Well, that's something that's done. So the Apollo is a theater in Harlem, and Showtime at the Apollo used to come on late at night after Saturday Night Live, actually.
Yeah.
That's right.
And people for decades would go, and they'd have like these open mics where people would sing, people would do stand up, people would dance. And the way you win that night is like by cheers, or you get booed. And then the Sandman, who's this dude who's like tap dancer, comes and tap dances, and he has this big thing with the hook and yanks your ass off stage.
You literally get the hook. Yeah.
You literally get the hook.
Notoriously tough crowd.
Yes. Yes. Like,
yeah, I do know that.
9 times out of 10, they're booing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always remember, I'm like empathetic that way. I always remember cringing every time. Oh, the boos are starting. It's over. And sometimes
once the murmur of the boos starts, you're cooked. You can't turn the crowd.
It's hard. I've seen it happen. I've seen it like, oh, and then like a note or something or a performance, it takes a turn and you get them back. But that's Denzel flipping the plane. Like,
yes, that's Denzel flipping the plane 1,000%.
Like, everything goes back to
that. We should all die right now. We should die. But you did some shit and got us right. Yeah.
999 people get booed, but you're the one that flipped the plane upside down.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Carlos, you mentioned in the break something about our passports, and there are few things in the world or in our like society right now that I feel like are more of a ripoff financially than passport photos. I don't know if you guys have had to do this recently, but I took my kids to get their passport photos. $12 a piece. $12 a piece for a, you know, bad photo. All they did was use a ring light, like something I could have totally done at home and printed out at Walgreens for 9 cents and sent it.
But it's the size. Versus you on your printer at home, and you're like,
You're trying to guess, and then they're like, sorry, I'm not approved, and you can't go to Turks and Caicos. Now you're pissed.
Well, they scare you.
Mine were not. I did try to do it. I did try to do it myself for my kids. I did it in our living room, and I put a lamp facing them so it'd be nice. And it wasn't going to be a good picture, but it was going to be a good passport picture. And I got it to the right size, and I took it in with there, and they said, nope, there's a shadow on her face. Can't use it. $12, please. Very frustrating.
Yep. Yeah,
I wanted to ask you guys if you have embarrassing moments that have happened over the years that you wish were on tape, because you wish there was video of this, because in hindsight, they're very funny. A lot of times you do something embarrassing and you don't like it at the moment, but then it turns out to be very funny. And I've had plenty of this, including recently. I had a full cup of coffee dump in my lap, and you can't really do anything but laugh. It wasn't like scalding hot or anything. I was okay. Thanks for asking. But I was out running an errand with my wife, and I had one of these paper disposable coffee cups sitting. She had gone in, she was driving, and she parked and went in to run an errand. And I put the coffee cup up on the dash of the minivan in the passenger seat. And then I was texting, and she gets back in the car, throws it into reverse, doesn't realize the coffee cup's there. And as soon as she does, the coffee cup dumps straight back on me.
And yikes.
Thankfully, I drink black coffee, so it's not like it's like a big sugary mess or it has dairy in it, it's going to smell bad or anything like that. It actually smells fantastic in my wife's van right now, thanks to that coffee spill. But I was thinking, like,
house scented.
Sometimes those things happen, and it's like all you can do is laugh. And I really wasn't mad. I was just like, this is kind of funny. Like, I wish there was a video of this, especially now, like, in social media, I could become famous. That could be my ticket to fame of any kind and riches. But I also, I had, last summer we were out on a lake in Pennsylvania, and I was trying to go from the shore into this kayak and to step into a kayak, and it went exactly like it would on a cartoon. where I'm just kind of like 1 foot in and wobbling. And the next thing I know, like I dump over the side of it, never end up actually in the kayak. Of course, the whole thing just flips. And in front of everybody too, my family loved that. And I wish there was a video of that. And way back in the day, when I was in South Florida at the Palm Beach Post, they wanted me to start doing this video series with high school football. This is like really, really early in my career. And two of the really big football powerhouses down there are Glade Central High School and Pahokee High School, which are out in the middle of nowhere. It's called the Muck. I mean, this is an hour. Carlos is nodding along. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. This is an hour west of West Palm Beach. And these towns are like, I think Belgrade, Florida is like 25,000 people and Pahokee's like 5,000. They're very, very small. But the guys that have come out of there are like Anquan Boldin, Fred Taylor, Ricky Jackson, tons of talent comes out of that area. And we were out there to shoot a video to preview one of these games. I think the Muck Bowl, I think Pahokee and Glade Central. And we were shooting it in a cane field. A sugar cane field. So it's me with two video people, and I'm out there just kind of giving like an intro to our video out in this cane field. And all of a sudden, in the middle of one of these takes, I feel what turns out to be fire ants get my leg.
Oh boy.
And I don't know if
I thought you were going to say snake.
No,
I thought you were going to say snakes because you were in the Glades and I was like, could be snakes, could be ants, could be rabbits, could be a lot of
could be some kind
unexpected
of rodent.
Things.
Could be a boar. I think they have wild boars out there too. Even
they do. They do. Yeah, it's not great.
But fire. I don't know if you have experience with fire ants, Russ, as a person who's grown up in the north where we don't have that. You would have maybe if you were traveling or something. They're very coordinated. So they will get on you and then bite in unison. You know what I mean? Like
everybody get in place.
They work in concert. Yeah. They
get ready. On. Ready. Yeah. Three.
Places.
Two. One. Bite.
Speed. Sound. And action.
Yes. That is exactly what they do.
Yeah.
And it's the only time it's ever happened to me. So I didn't know at first what it was, but I immediately start, you know, yelping or hollering or whatever. And I take off my pants right there in the middle of that field and go running to the car because I know I got mosquito spray in my car. I got bug spray. I'm just going to run to the car in my underwear and spray this bug spray all over myself and see if that kills the fire ants. And it kills me. Like, I could have been like the boom goes the dynamite guy. Like, it kills me that I have two people out there, Carlos, with cameras.
With cameras.
And they turned them off.
Oh, my God. They have no idea.
Great.
The gold they had.
If this had happened, I wouldn't be sitting here doing a podcast in my dad's basement. Like, my career could have skyrocketed.
That sounds awful. Did that kill the ants, by the way?
That and flailing at them, like just slapping them off my leg and stuff.
Jeez.
Yep. The job was done, though.
I had a buddy in college. I had a buddy in college in New Orleans who got bit by fire ants and part of his body swelled up so badly that he needed to go to the hospital.
Jeez. Oh, that's not great.
Yeah.
That's not great. I have one of those stories where I was riding bike. That might be one of mine. I have another one, but I'm riding bike through college and it's like through our campus. And I take kind of one of these side turns, like through a grassy field. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of wearing a loose T-shirt, and I feel something fly into my T-shirt, just like, I don't know if it was a leaf.
No.
I thought it was a leaf.
Yeah.
And until I feel a stab in my chest, and I like leap, and then another, and then I leap off the bike, and I tear off my shirt, and like a hornet comes flying away. Jeez. So like I'm like writhing in pain with a shirtless, with like half knocked off my bike. And I assume there's no video of it because that was like 1996, 1997. But if there was, video,
you could have been on one of these YouTube highlight reels that my kids watch.
Yeah. When insects attack, we could have both been on that.
You guys could have been like ridiculousness or something.
Russ, what do you got? You have one of those?
All right. So here's the thing. When Jason first told us about this topic, I was out. Not because it's not a good topic, but I don't laugh at my embarrassment. That's not me. Like, if I'm embarrassed,
you're not able to be like, if this happened to someone else, I would think it was hilarious. Or
no, the world should never remember it. Like, I want the pin that Will Smith had in Men in Black, and like, nobody's gonna remember this moment. One I do think would be funny to like look back on as an adult is, I'm like 7. I'm playing baseball, and this is before I really got locked in on baseball, where like I played till I got to college. This is like my first or second year playing baseball. They throw me out in left field, fine, whatever. And that feeling comes where I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom, but it's the middle of the game.
Oh, Russ.
We're here now. And just started pee, just down the leg. And
what color were your pants?
White.
Home whites.
Right.
You're the home white black on that one. Yeah.
The home yellows by the half inning.
Yellows.
The home yellows.
Russ is about to star in a Tide commercial.
Hey,
it's about to be the mom pulling the baseball uniform out. Oh, we can clean this.
And it was early in the game. We lived in the town I was playing. So it was like house team, you know, where you play for your town. So my mom goes home, comes back, gets new pants. I go behind like the snack bar,
awesome.
Drop trowel, change pants, and then get back in the game. It worked out. But I think the sequence is amazing where I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm going to the bathroom.
And you got your little jock strap, so you're out behind the cafeteria thing, whatever.
Ass out.
Bare butt.
7-year-old ass out, hoping there's no perv around.
Oh, that's a memorable one. You can laugh at that now, but that's a rough one.
Because then, like, the video would be, like, it zooms in on me in the outfield, like, realizing, it's about to go down. And then, like, it's happening, and then me not doing, like, you know when you, like, look down and, like, play with the grass with your foot? That's definitely what I did in that moment. I'm like, we're here now.
I'm going to ask, what, you've seen worse than that?
Because first off, like, there's a couple of things about that story that I very much respect. First and foremost, your mom going home to get you pants. Like, your mom's got your back on that. That's
you didn't leave. Good. You didn't leave. That's amazing.
No. I could have.
Because if I was the parents, I might have left. I might have been like, you're on your own with this one. That's not our kid.
Whose pissy-ass kid is this?
We got another kid. Yeah, we got Joe. We don't need to worry about old pee pants out there in Yonkville. But I also respect Russ staying in the game, because in baseball, you come out, you can't go back in. Like Russ rather is dedication, man. He's staying in the game, even with pee pants. He's going to do it. He's not coming out.
Now, here's the thing. If it was number one and not number two, if it had been number two,
that's a hard one.
We're going, like, I'm not even going back to the bench. I'm just going to yell, Mom, we need to go home. Like, moonwalk to the car so I couldn't turn around, because the home whites would have been the home browns. And then that's not great.
No, that's rough. You got to come out of the game for that one.
It's the lesser of two evils. You don't want to be the guy who had to come out of the game because he had to make a number two. However, that is still better than being the guy that played that inning with a number two in his drawers.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, listen, you are helping your team by coming out of that game. Helping everyone. You're helping everyone by doing that.
So is my mom.
You're definitely helping future Russ.
Team player.
When my brother was in Little League, and he was really good, but he was on this all-star team, and there was a kid on the team who – these kids are all good. They're on the all-star team. They're all good. But there was a kid on the team who wasn't really playing much. And his dad would rant to anyone who would listen in the stands about how his kid should be playing. On and on again about how his kid should be out there playing. His kid should be out there. Finally, they're like 3 or 4 games into the all-star tournament or whatever. Finally, they send his kid out as a defensive replacement. Like, in a late inning, he gets sent out there to left field, and his dad is like, finally, now you'll see. My kid's out there. You'll see how good he is. You'll see how right I am. Like, first couple pitches you see out there in left field, he starts kind of squirming. He's kind of got his knees together. He's kind of squirming around. They get an out, And then after that, the kid raises his hand. He's got to come out. He's got to come out. He's got to go to the bathroom. And you're done. When you come out, you're done. The porta potty is right behind the stands. He's got to run past his dad to get to this porta potty.
Oh, there's a special place for parents like that, man.
Age parents.
Yeah, I mean, Lord, the things that I've seen. I've now have three teenagers who have all, they've all moved on to, like, just they're just playing sports for fun. But God, the things we saw in Little League soccer and volleyball and, you know, soccer and volleyball, which are the two main things, like, and lacrosse. Parents are insane. Parents are insane. And the most insane parent, it's weird because it's, I don't often see like the dad that was a professional athlete or even almost a professional athlete, you know, being overly assertive with his kid or crazy with his kid. It's often the parents who don't know anything about the sport that their kid is playing. Like that started, like, you know, like I played volleyball into college and so my kids all played, and you had these parents who had never played that sport and are like the most indignant about rules that they have no idea about or that they learned about 10 minutes ago. And like, I find that like literally just like my ethos as a sports parent was, show up on time to drop them off, pick them up and clap in between. That's it. Even when the bad play happens, you know, it's the sad clap. Like, all right, you'll get them next time.
We got it.
We got this. But that's it. Clap. That's your.
All right, come on. We got it. Don't worry about it.
You got it. That's
and we only stay in this if you like it.
Right. No.
That's another
they have
issue.
Coaches. They have coaches, you know. The kid will decide, hey, I'm done with this. Okay, great. And then you move on.
All right, guys, let's do the news. And this first news item, you know, I guess you could put news in quotation marks, but like, you know, it's considered news now. And this is kind of what I'm talking about with Travis Kelce. This is kind of what he's saying when he says it's a lot different being famous globally than being famous in just in Kansas City. TMZ has a story up right now, and you're getting so excited. Like, what's this Travis Kelce story going to be? It's just a story about him being in L.A. and paparazzi snapping photos of him cruising around L.A. in a car without Taylor Swift. That's it. He's not, like, out with Ariana Grande or one of the other ones or anything. He's just out, you know, possibly running errands as far as we know. And this is news now. And then they're circling back later in the story saying, well, he's kind of in the area where Taylor lives, so he's probably headed there. And like, this is just him out doing stuff, and he's got people taking his picture, and it's on a website as a news story. Travis Kelce in LA doing stuff, maybe.
But doing stuff without Taylor. Could it be they're breaking up? And that's how
those
stories are. Right.
At that time that without moment, her.
If he's not with her, if he's not pictured with her at
all
every
hours
moment,
of the day,
at all hours of the day, time. It's over. That's how that goes.
That's crazy.
It's kind of a nuisance. Like, you know, if you were driving to your local grocery store, your Jewel's where we live, or your Publix, Carlos, down in Miami, and, you know, someone snapped a picture of you in the passenger seat and put on a website, whatever. Okay. But like, this is going to be his life all the time now. And that's a lot different, even though he was a very well-known football player and he'd hosted Saturday Night Live and he'd had his own dating show on TV before all of this. Like, this is a totally different ballgame. And again, it looks miserable to me. I would not like that. It would not be worth the money for me to have to live like that.
I'd do both sides of it, and then I'd tell you.
That money looks kind of fun.
Oh my gosh, that money.
Yeah. I mean, I got a good buddy, Sean. Sean Keniff was one of the original cast members of Survivor, of the first Survivor. Mm-hmm. He's a neurologist. He's a doctor, and he was on that show, and he was like the third runner up. And he always says, "Fame is only good if it comes with money," and I've never forgotten that. So I'll take the fame if it comes with all the money for a little while, and then I can judge, and then I can say,
okay,
Yeah, I'm willing to put up with that.
I'm there with Carlos because it's just like the money can't buy you everything, people. It sounds great in theory, right? Like money can't buy you happiness. Sounds great in theory. However, let me get the money first, and then I will circle back, and I will say, okay. Well, it didn't get me like 100% happiness, but it got me like 93%.
Yeah, 93% happiness sounds pretty. That's an A. That's a solid A.
93% happiness. You're probably doing fine mostly.
Yeah.
Well, if the podcast does well enough, maybe we can run an experiment like that and kind of see.
A/B test.
Sportsadjacent@gmail.com.
This next news story, by the way, is about someone who had plenty of money but wanted more. This crime story out of San Diego sounds like it's going to be a movie or a television show at some point. This is from the NBC affiliate in San Diego. A 53-year-old mom named Michelle Mack ran an elaborate shoplifting ring from her $3 million mansion in San Diego, in which a dozen or so of her minions or underlings or whatever you want to call them stole $8 million worth of makeup from retailers like Ulta, TJ Maxx, Walgreens, and then they were reselling. She was orchestrating this crime ring, reselling them cheaply on Amazon. Lives in a $3 million house, oversaw the stealing of $8 million worth of merchandise that they were then reselling. This crime ring, this group dubbed the California Girls, not that creative of a title, allegedly shoplifted from hundreds of locations across 10 states in the country. I appreciate the throwback here. She also was running a brick and mortar version of this out of her garage at this $3 million home.
That's very retro.
Yeah, that's kind of quaint.
I think America has shown us that as long as you pay taxes, you can run any kind of criminal enterprise you want. I guarantee you this lady will be charged. She'll be tried. She'll serve zero jail time. She'll get a fine of like $1 million, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million. And that $8 million that she made and is stored heaven knows where, whether it's in trusts or overseas, like they'll get to keep that. Like that is the American story over and over. As you were reading, I was trying to remember where I saw that recently, where somebody was running. Oh, it was somebody that was running a scam on car titles sold in Florida. It was a husband and wife selling a scam where they were making up fake car titles for cars that were, some got ruined in a flood. And then they restored the cars and got fake titles for them and resold them. And they made like tens of millions, and they didn't serve any jail time. And they paid like a $400,000 fine. Like, if you're just thinking about this, like, as a person walking around and like you set your morality aside because maybe you can't pay your bills at some point. Like that seems like a decent upside. Morality aside, in this country, as long as you pay your taxes, and they don't have it out for you, you can be a criminal and kind of get away with it.
Carl's right, man. Like I started my media company like 2 months ago, and like you're learning about business and stuff, and you like they're even cool with you like not paying the whole thing, right? They'll put you on a payment plan. You could put the taxes that you owe on like layover.
It's like a medical expense. It's like a medical expense, right? Like we all get those medical bills, and it's like, oh, you haven't paid this bill for whatever reason because your insurance changed or whatever, and you're like, this bill from 3 years ago, and it's like, all right, well, what if you just pay back half?
Right.
And it's like, how about I give you 10 cents on the dollar? And they're like, okay.
Yeah, it's if you don't file, do they get upset? It's like, how dare you? You're hiding.
How dare you?
As long as you file, man, they're like, all right, take 2 years to pay that shit back. We don't care.
To your point, all that has been seized from Michelle Mack to this point was about $400,000 worth of product out of her garage.
Oh, just the product. Oh, y'all got it. Oh, I got the
She got away with it.
We're good.
What they're saying is they recovered the things that belong to somebody else.
Yes.
They returned
Now I can do this thing, you know.
So far, that's legally. Yes. So far, that's all the further this has gotten. Another scam. This one, very interesting to me, out of Lincoln, Nebraska, where a 45-year-old woman faces felony theft charges for figuring out a way to pump $28,000 worth of gas for free. This is from the Associated Press. This woman was arrested last week after prosecutors say she discovered that double swiping her rewards card at the gas station pump. So, you know, you have your credit card, but you also have like your Shell rewards card or whatever. I don't have one of those for a gas station, but I get how it works. So there was a glitch where if you swiped your rewards card twice, it sent the gas pump into demo mode and then would dispense gas without a payment. She took advantage
like
of this.
A you problem. That yeah, sounds like a you problem, Shell
That's
gas
what I want
station.
To get to. That's what I want to get to in a minute. It was not Shell gas station. It was, I forget the name of the gas station in Nebraska, but this is what I want to get to. So she pulled this off for about 8 months, allegedly, before the gas station loss prevention people kind of caught on to this and called the police. They alleged that she did it 510 times and got more than 7,400 gallons of gas for free because of it. She also allowed another person to use her card for a fee. She allowed this friend or whoever, acquaintance, to get $700 worth of gas for $500, which doesn't sound like a great discount. Doesn't sound like a risk being charged with a felony level discount. But that person, that woman talked. That woman talked to the authorities like pretty much right away. So yeah, my question to you is like, whose fault is this really? Is this a scam or is this clever? Like you don't run your machine, right? And I figure out that swiping the rewards card twice.
A good attorney would be able to get that out of here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's a
like a Don Cheadle type could. Yeah.
Yeah. Don Cheadle in flight could get that out of, because he got a toxic. If you could get like cocaine, weed, and alcohol out of here for a pilot, you could definitely get the double swipe at the pilot or speedway or whatever out of here. Right? What? Like, yeah, that's organizational failure on your part. There's a lot of people taking advantage of a lot of things. All right. It was just me getting free gas and then this lady that I sold it to. But like, don't.
What if I walk up to a vending machine and I just kind of hit the buttons for Cheetos and a Cheetos comes out and I'm like, oh, that's cool. This is going to be my main vending machine now.
Right.
And I'll tell Russ about it for 50 cents.
Let me put in a dollar just so I feel right about taking these Cheetos. No, you're taking the Cheetos. You're taking the Cheetos. Although I think both things can be true. She was kind of shady. She was kind of like, you get away with it.
Well,
once,
she was telling you like, yes. Yeah. There's no question. Like, she's shady.
Yeah, I mean, like, you got away with it once. You're like, you get home, you're like, never guess what happened. I went to get more gas and it was free.
7,000 gallons of gas, right? Like, if it's like 500 gallons of gas, do they care?
I don't know.
That sounds like a lot of gas. Like, what does she have, like, SUV or something?
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's like that's an F-250 or something like that.
Well, that's over 8 months, and it comes out to $28,000. So, the dollar amount is probably the bigger question. Like, are you going to notice $28,000 versus about $3,000? Are you going to care about $28,000 versus $3,000? Right. I don't know.
This is my America thing again. The bigger the crime, like at that point, $28,000, they're probably going to
You got to be a low level criminal.
You got to think bigger, Jason. Oh. Bigger.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Bigger. Let me get this.
Like the lady with the $8 million scam, like the percentage of what she's going to lose of that is going to be infinitesimal compared to what this lady at $28,000, they're probably going to hit her. They're probably going to get most of that. They could probably make her sell her car, stuff like that. And they'll probably get most of that back. So like I think her fault was.
So you got to go all out.
Thinking. Bigger. Yeah.
Exactly. If I'm going to be a criminal mastermind, go all out. Don't bother trying to stay under the radar.
Yeah. That's the difference between petty criminal and criminal mastermind.
And the lady, she had like the paper trail with the card. The other lady, like she was paying the taxes and everything. So they're like,
and minions. And she had minions. Yeah. Like, I don't know those kids. Those kids stealing those things. I never seen
also, that. Also, you got to know who you can commit crime with, because you sold your car to the lady that talked. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this. I was reading this through, and I'm like, this has to be some kind of inside job, because how you wouldn't just be like, let me swipe my rewards card twice and see what happens. Like somebody, some manufacturer, somebody that works for one of these companies had to have clued her into this.
Yeah, there's more to
this. Why they're upset? It's like, she got us.
Yes,
gave away a scam.
This is only our thing. Only we could get the free gas. I think that's what it was. They were getting the free gas inside the company, and once somebody outside the company got access, they're like, "Nah, we got to shut this down."
Yeah.
Mm. You think this was like kind of an inside house secret?
Yeah, like and the upper executives and whatnot.
Somebody whispered something during pillow talk, and it kind of got out. And
exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, like back in the day, you could go to In-N-Out and say, "Give me a, you know, give me a 10x10." And they would make a sandwich with 10 patties and 10 slices of cheese. That was like a inside
a secret menu.
But once that got out, like they really, as I understand, they really won't do that anymore. So somebody ruined it for the rest of them. The gas lady, she ruined it for everybody else by just going whole hog, man. You could have just that could have been every time you just poured gas, you could have just gone your scam. You know, maybe your spouse did pay full of gas, but you're saving 50%. Like, I think both things are right, what you were saying, Jason. Either stay below the radar or just like flaunt it, you know?
Well, now you're confusing me. Now I don't know
what. She got caught in the middle. She got caught in the middle. Do both. Do both if you can. It's like investments. You got to diversify. All right.
Okay. Russ, are you a big In-N-Out Burger guy since you brought them up or since Carlos mentioned them?
I mean, trash. Horrible.
I agree. You can't say that to anybody that's like from LA, but there's nothing special about it.
Horrible. The burger
Wendy's is better than that.
No,
but like the fries are horrific. And anybody that says it's a top three fast food chain is on something. They're Denzel.
Okay, I agree. Fast food. So hold it up next to McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King.
Five Guys. I'd much rather have
Five Guys. I feel like
I think he's trying to make a distinction, and he is the food editor, former food editor, so he has some expertise here, Russ. I think he's drawing a distinction between In-N-Out Burger and like Five Guys and Shake Shack.
Yes, I feel like that already is more of a premium burger. Shake Shack, forget it. That's an excellent burger, premium burger. And Five Guys is like a step. You can't go to McDonald's and get that quarter pounder and like hold it up to a Five Guys.
I see what you're getting at.
Okay.
I think if I'm gonna go In-N-Out or like, I don't know if y'all have Freddy's down in Florida.
Carl's Jr.
That's another one.
Hardee's.
Well, I think it's better than Carl's Jr. and Hardee's, but like that's not saying. Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's saying something. Saying something.
I'm not even a McDonald's Jason, guy, but Culver's. I'm getting McDonald's.
I'd rather go
over
to Culver's. I'd rather go to Culver's than In-N-Out.
Do you guys have Culver's in Miami?
I don't think I've ever had a burger from a Culver's, but I've only had the ice cream cement, whatever they call it.
Nah, cement mixer. Solid.
Cement mixer. That's what they call their ice cream /
or concrete mixer. But yeah.
Concrete. Cement. That's it.
Concrete mixer.
That's another thing. Now I'm going to have to do a side-by-side. What is concrete? What is cement? I'm in another Lil Wayne, Lil John jam. I can't get out of it. I can't
stay
out of
it. Getting into these fixes.
I
knew what you meant. Concrete. They do call them the concrete mixer and concrete cement. I could understand where your mind went.
The Lils.
And finally, guys, do you guys mess with stray animals at all?
No.
Or wild animals? Like, do you feed squirrels? Or if there's like Jason, a cat, will you try to pet it or anything?
I'm black, Jason. Come on. Okay.
There's people that if they see like a stray cat or a stray dog, will try to like go up to it. And
not the blacks.
Okay.
Not what we do in the community.
Listen, this is not like the, I never think it's the nice lady's Pomeranian from next door got free with its little collar. I'm going to go. Yeah. It's never that dog in my neighborhood. In my neighborhood, it's always like, oh my God, a dog. Don't look at it in the eyes.
Right. This is slowly, a rabid dog.
Yes. Go in another direction. No little dogs in my neighborhood. And yeah. Anyway.
Japanese officials have warned residents of Fukuyama that a dangerous chemical cat is on the loose. This is from NBC. The cat is covered in toxic chemicals after falling into a tank of them at a factory.
How's
the chemical? It might not be because no one has seen it. But they're saying this might be around and don't touch it because the chemical that it fell into is hexavalent chromium, which is kind of orangish. So the cat will probably look orange and can cause skin irritation and respiratory issues. It's highly acidic and carcinogenic. So to your point, Russ, there's probably low percent chance that this cat is still actually around. But in the event that it is, they want people to know that the workers at the factory who deal with this this chemical as part of their job wear masks and gloves and stuff like you don't want to touch this. Factory employees saw a trail of yellowish brown paw prints leading away from the factory and later saw the cat on surveillance video leaving the factory the night before. A spokesman for the factory. Go ahead, Carlos.
I'm laughing because this person has clearly been scammed by a publicity stunt for the new Garfield villain movie. Like this is the origin story. The cat falls into a vat of chemicals and comes out superpowered, leaves little prints in the direction of where it went, you know, into its cave. And now this is a villain
presumed
origin
dead.
Story.
Presumed dead, right?
Yeah.
But not, but not in the movie, right. Not, no. Survived it
18 years later in the
horribly mangled beneath like probably Fukuyama. Looking like Two-Faced from Batman, but still like out.
I mean, it's like this is the new Godzilla minus one. This is the new Godzilla. Like this is the sequel to the next Godzilla thing. The orange cat under Fukuyama comes out in toxic chemicals and like only Godzilla can stop it. I think we both
need this. You need Garfield to become like you need Garfield to hit the public domain like Winnie the Pooh did. So then they made a horror movie out of Winnie the Pooh and stuff. Now you could make Chemical Cat, but it's Garfield.
Chemical Garfield.
Chemical Cat.
He only eats lasagna. He terrorizes Italy. He's making a way across the globe to Italy to eat all the lasagna.
Y'all know this cat's dead as hell, right?
Yeah, sadly.
This cat is dead as hell. There is no shot in hell that this cat is still alive.
It like, fell into a vat of chemicals.
If it's carcinogenic for human beings, you're telling me a small, frail cat is going to be the one to...
I mean, it walked out of there.
It
walked out of there, but I don't know how much further it walked after that. Yeah, you might be right. It's a very good chance.
Of course. Because here's my thing. Have you been around a cat that has a hairball? That damn near kills them. What are we talking about?
A spokesperson for the factory said, quote, the incident woke us up to the need to take measures to prevent small animals like cats from sneaking in, which is something we never anticipated, end quote.
Listen, I appreciate the company saying, yo, if you see a cat around here, don't pick it up. Don't touch it. It has toxins on it. Because here in the States, we definitely be on some, I didn't know. Not lying. But they're like, hey, everybody in the community, be safe. I respect that.
Yeah. Oh, you see a glowing orange cat coming towards you? Don't pick it up.
Don't touch.
I mean, as a kid, don't touch that cat.
Yes.
As you know what? All your kids, don't touch that. Don't touch that cat. Oh, it's such a cute stray cat. Don't touch that cat. Only bad
things. Maybe don't touch any animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't need to do that at a petting zoo even. And that's what it exists
inside
for.
Animals.
I'm like, I'm fine. I didn't wake up today thinking like I need to touch some animals.
Listen, nothing good comes from touching animals.
That's the news.
Oh, what an episode. Shout out to the director and creator of Flight. for giving us great content on this.
Do we know who that is? Is it
great question.
Robert Zemeckis. Go ahead. I'll find it for you. I'll produce.
Robert Zemeckis directed it, written by John Gattens, produced by Walter F. Parks, Lori McDonald, Steve Starkey, and Jack Rapke.
Okay.
The film stars Denzel Washington, to take a page from Carlos's book of reading the Wikipedia.
Well, the film stars Nadine Velasquez.
Right. Here's the thing. I was also going to say shout out to Nadine Velasquez because, obviously, the real star of the movie.
That's right. The unsung hero of that movie.
Shout out to Nadine. Yeah. Went to Columbia College in Chicago. How about that?
That too much, Russ. Too much.
Listen,
you did too much there.
And according to Google, no longer married.
Oh, okay.
She just received an Instagram follow from me.
That's kind of like fixing those eyebrows. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Like, oh, what was that over there?
Oh,
oh, the bathroom's that way.
Directions to the gun show.
Actually, you have a DM from at RussDorsey1.
Listen, I got a blue check. My shit go to the top. So
nice.
If I wanted
worth every cent.
No, I didn't pay for it. I got it before people started paying for it. Oh. Jason.
Yeah, I'm not paying for blue checks. I can't pay for blue checks. I can't do it.
Here's my thing, as long as we're here. The one on Twitter, I think for what I do, it's important. And it's $8.
Like, yeah, I mean, if it helps your work.
Because if it was Elon Musk and it's stupid, yes, I get all that. It's $8. Like, what are we doing here? It was not like he charged $200 for it. Like, that's when you say, okay, that's a bit much. $8.
Except that, when there's a tweet and, like, all the bad people tweeting beneath it, all the awfulness is like reliably the blue check markers. And I'm like, and I get it for the promotion purposes as a personality
anymore to figure out what's what.
Yeah. It's kind of like a soup. It's like, you're out at, you know, it's like it's Mardi Gras. You don't know who you're out there with.
A lot more people getting the fake out these days on Twitter because of that.
Well, yeah. Why? And of course they are. If you get faked out by something, of course. I totally get it.
And I'm talking like people in our business who probably should know, but like you see and
they're absolved too, man. It's murky.
We're programming wired to be like, oh yeah, that's
Yeah. That's what happened to me with Lil Wayne. That's what happened.
Okay. All right.
There you go. You see, the further we've gotten from it, he's trying to absolve himself of all wrong.
No. You know, like there's
this happened. It was just a Freudian slip.
It's great maturity and
just accepting that you're wrong.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. If you love this disconnect from accountability, that's our guy, Carlos Frias, was gracious enough to join us again. Going to be back with us next week. Carlos, we appreciate you. And we appreciate that you've gotten your sheets from our friends at Sheets and Giggles. Sheetsgiggles.com/SA. It's still sleep. You can get 25% off, and if you use our promo code or our link, you get an additional 10% off. Sheetsgiggles.com/SA to get the best sheets on the market. We are also brought to you by BetMGM. You can get up to $1,500 back in free betting credit if you do not win your first bet with BetMGM using our promo code adjacent1000. That is adjacent1000, BetMGM, the king of sports books. Jason, anything before we let the fine folks go?
Carlos, what are your big plans in Chicago? What's like one thing you're going to do when you're in Chicago this weekend?
I am going to do the most tourist activity in Chicago, which is I'm going for the dyeing of the river for St. Patty's Day. People come to Miami, they come to Cayo Ocho, which I think is an insane thing to do, and I'm gonna do the insane thing by going to the dying of the river. I'm gonna wear my green shirt. I have four goals: drink green beer, drink a shot of whiskey, Irish whiskey, get a Guinness, and have a shot of Malort. That's
local. That's the big one right there. It's horrible, by the way.
I know. It's horrific. But I feel like horrific. I feel like it's a rite of passage. So, so
next week we'll get a recap on Carlos's Chicago trip.
Okay, that'll be good.
And you can catch that
live
right here, Sports Adjacent. We will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.